your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
The T-Biz Podcast delivers T-News that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz Podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Inflation eases, yet grocery prices remain high. Starbucks names Chipotle's executive, Brian Nickel, as its new CEO. And Kenya regulators approve acquisition of Lipton's tea estates. Plus, AVPA Teas of the World contest. The September 30th deadline is nearing for tea and botanical growers and brands to submit entries in the annual Teas of the World contest organized by AVPA, the France-based Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products. There are two distinct parts, monovarietal teas, which are Camellia sinensis, with many categories depending on the method of preparation, and herbal teas, which are infusion plants other than Camellia sinensis, as well as blends and flavored teas. Karine Baudry, an expert in sensory analysis and founder of Quintessence, chairs this year's jury. Signe Lee, responsible for communication and development of the AVPA programs, joins us from Paris to explain the many benefits of participating. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
U.S. inflation declined to 2.9% last month, crossing an important threshold after rising to 40-year highs. Grocery prices, however, remain stubbornly static. The Washington Post writes, quote, grocery prices are some of the most tangible reminders of higher-than-normal inflation, and the sticker shock often weighs on people's impressions of the economy. Generally, food prices have been trending down but are still higher than before the pandemic, end quote. The latest numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that food prices overall were up 2.2% in July compared to the previous year. Groceries rose a modest 1.1% during the same period, falling from a 13.5% peak in August 2022. In Europe, food inflation peaked at 17.9% in November 2022 and exceeded overall inflation in 9 out of 10 of the continent's 44 countries. Consumer responses generally can be summed up in the UK headline, people buy spectacularly less, a combination of trading down and doing without. Tea prices in the UK are some of the highest in Europe. In July, the government reported the RPI was 262 pence, that's about $3.37 USD, for a 250-gram box of tea bags. 2 years ago, the price was 180 pence, about $2.31 USD. The grocery channel of commodity tea bags, store-branded teas, and bottled teas, which contain very little tea, accounts for 80% of U.S. tea sales, estimated to total $13 billion in 2023. Specialty teas account for $3.5 billion of those sales. Premium offerings continue to grow in functional and condition-specific categories, especially in e-commerce. But on grocery shelves, the premium category increasingly consists of blends with herbals and florals, and in the cold case, refrigerated teas, juice, and exotic fruit infusions with brewed Camellia sinensis. Prices remain high, which explains why Walmart's income increased by 8.5%, with digital sales increasing by 22% in the past year. Walmart CEO Doug McMillon told analysts, quote, "We aren't experiencing a weaker consumer overall. Consumers from all income levels are looking for value, and we have it," end quote. Groceries account for more than half of Walmart sales. William Hogg, associate professor in the Department of Economics at the University of South Carolina, told Time magazine, quote, "If inflation goes down, it means that the rate at which prices increase is slowing down. But it's generally not going to mean that prices are going down," end quote. According to the U.S. Consumer Price Index, grocery store prices remain 25% higher than they were pre-pandemic. Quote, "Of course, we'd like prices to be lower, but the problem is that one person's spending is another person's income," end quote, says Professor Hauck, with a word of warning on avoiding deflation. "When prices decrease throughout the economy, it probably means people, on average, are making less money," he explained. Ousted Starbucks CEO Laxman Narasimhan was fond of tea, supporting a full line of chai and matcha lattes, rooibos, as well as black and green teas, and introducing, finally, pearls in May. The company is one of the world's largest retailers in tea, selling around 1 billion cups a year. Laxman will depart the company with $10.6 million in severance after 17 months at the helm. His replacement, Brian Nichol, CEO at Chipotle, was named CEO effective September 9th. Nichol will receive $1.6 million salary and up to $113 million in bonuses if he successfully meets financial targets. During Narasimhan's tenure, shares declined almost 25%, leading to a $32 billion decline in value, while Chipotle's annual sales surged. Chipotle stock has tripled in value since 2018. In 2023, Narasimhan cited tea as an important contributor to same-store sales growth, which rose 11.6% compared to 2022. Starbucks reported a 6% decline in U.S. comparable quarterly transactions in July. The beverage menu at Chipotle is sparse. The Mexican-American-themed restaurant features 13 flavors of poppy prebiotic juice and soda, open water, certified organic watermelon limeade, all-natural non-GMO aqua frescas in mandarin and berry, with Phillips from in-store dispensers, as well as sweet black tea and flavored lemonade from farmer-created Tractor Beverage Company. Narasimhan's favorite drink is an espresso macchiato with hot skim milk on the side. During his tenure, matcha lattes, seasonal iced teas, berry lemonade, and summer skies refreshers with popping pearls were highlighted. Starbucks does not break out earnings from tea, but financial reports provide important clues. If tea accounts for between 10 and 15% of beverage sales, say 12% on average, then it generates about $4.5 billion annually. Starbucks reported $36.5 billion in sales for the 12 months ending March 31, 2024, up 7.5% over the previous year. Tea sales during that period likely ranged from $3.65 to $5.5 billion. Teavana boxed and bottled teas generate more than $1.5 billion. The rest is mainly sold cold over the counter, with the highest earnings in Asian stores and those located in warmer climates. Business Standard writes that 74 of the 191 CEOs who have left their roles this year were considered to have been forced out, the highest number recorded since Exchange.com began tracking departures in 2017. Brown's Plantations will control 10.7% of Kenya's tea market, according to regulators that approved the acquisition of Lipton Tea and Infusions Kenya properties. The Competition Authority of Kenya determined that Lipton's holdings in Kariko and Limuru amounted to 6% of the tea market. According to the Competition Authority, the Kenya Tea Development Authority, KTDA, controls 48.8% of the combined export and domestic market, followed by Brown's, Eastern Produce Kenya with a 5.6% share, and Williamson Tea with a 4.3% share. Kenya's Agriculture and Foods Authority estimates the total market value at 185 billion Kenyan shillings, about $1.4 billion U.S. dollars, of which $1.3 billion U.S. dollars is derived from imports. Domestic tea sales are 22 billion shillings, about 169 million USD. Kenya produced 450 million kilos of tea in 2023. The authority found, quote, "The transaction qualifies as a merger within the meaning of Sections 2 and 41 of the Competition Act. Premised on the above, the authority unconditionally approved the proposed acquisition of 98.5% of the issued share capital of Lipton Teas and Infusions Kenya PLC. The publication Kenyan Wall Street reports, quote, "The authority has also assessed that the merger will not lead to any employment losses, assuring all 9,715 employees at Lipton Teas and 405 employees of Limuru Tea will be retained even after the acquisition," end quote. In May, Lipton, the world's largest tea company by value, announced the sale of all its tea estates to focus on brand management and improving value addition. The deal with Brown's International included all its Rwandan tea properties, Tanzania, and the company's 52% share of Limuru Tea, with 15% of the operating company shares going to community trusts that benefit Kariko and Bome tea workers. Parties to the sale announced an initial investment of 1 billion shillings in a community endowment trust fund to finance community projects. Kamantha Amarasika, chief executive director of Brown's Investments, in announcing the sale said, quote, "We look forward to working hand in hand with Lipton Teas and Infusions and local partners to foster a sustainable, responsible, and prosperous future for all. This partnership marks a significant step towards elevating the industry while ensuring a positive impact on the livelihood of communities we serve," end quote. Kenya's High Court appointed a 3-judge panel in July to hear an appeal by local communities challenging the estate sale. The communities cited pre-existing property rights and said they were not informed of the proposed transaction. No ruling has been announced. India marks 78 years since it attained freedom from the British Raj on Thursday. As the tricolors were hoisted at dawn across the nation, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru recounts how British tea became India's beloved chai.
This week, India celebrates Independence Day, and seeing how many celebrations feature chai as a cultural motif, I thought it was a good time to talk about chai and how tea became chai. If you, like me, imagine that chai was part of our traditional kitchens, that sweet, milky, boiled concoction was handed down like a well-loved legend, you'd be surprised to know that chai is very much a 20th century creation. In less than 100 years, it has become integral to our cultural and culinary story. Now, India as a British colony became the site for tea cultivation, but all of this was for export. The start of the 20th century, the British began to look at India as a potential market for tea. And many lukewarm starts later, they went on an aggressive marketing campaign. There was a railway campaign. There was the distribution of free tea samples. There was door-to-door propaganda. And each of these brought tea into the homes and kitchens of Indians. And chai? Well, chai's story led me to Philip Ludgendorff, who retired as professor of Hindi and modern Indian studies at the University of Iowa, and who's done plenty of research on how Indians became habituated to chai. He first visited India in 1971 and returned often to research and author books related to the Ramayana, one of our great myths. And chai, which he tasted on his first day in India, became a beverage he grew to love, but also curious about. It led to a year-long Fulbright Hayes Fellowship in 2010, and he came here to research chai's cultural history. What followed was an essay called Making Tea in India, Chai, Capitalism, Culture, where he writes that unable to trace any one creator of the footpath ki chai, he pays homage to the unknown chaiwala or chaiwali as an example of classic Indian jugaad. Now, jugaad is a word that describes a demonstration of ingenious innovation, to put it politely. The British tried to teach us the correct way to make tea, but that didn't have the expected outcome. One imagines that the inventor of chai found pot tea too fussy and found that they could just as well bung all the ingredients into one pan and boil them well. And to me, this act of rebellious creativity underlines chai's cult status. Interestingly, neither chai nor tea replaced anything that we were already drinking in India. They were entirely new beverages. And as it grew in popularity, chai became synonymous with tea that was sweet, milky, boiled, not steeped, became one more variation of how tea is made and enjoyed. The marketing campaign that the British undertook worked very well as more Indians sought tea and made it part of their everyday lives. And later in the 50s and 70s, when the CDC machine became popular, it had a significant impact on both costs and volumes because it offered more CDC tea offered more cuppage, and it made CDC tea an attractive option for vendors and roadside tea makers making tea an out-of-home drink. Now, this tea worked very well with milk and sweetened, made for a very nourishing beverage. So what chai also did was create social spaces like the tea cabins in Kolkata and the Irani cafes in Mumbai. These institutions have receded into the past, but there are others in Kolkata, but chaiwalas all over India who continue to make chai available and accessible, keeping it a fixture in our lives.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Nish. I grew up in an organic tea farm and I founded Nepal Tea Collective in 2016. Tea is not just a beverage for me, but a catalyst for social change, sustainably empowering hardworking artisans like my parents for the past 30 years. I'm on a mission to make the whole world aware of the goodness of Nepali teas and the good that comes from supporting growers in this remarkable land. If you haven't tasted Nepali teas yet, you're missing out. Our award-winning teas are making headlines. Find out why. Visit Nepal Tea Collective's website to get a free sample of this extraordinary taste of the Himalayas. That's nepalteacollective.com. Or just send me an email at nish, N-I-S-H, at nepalteacollective.com. Cheers.
The September 30th deadline is nearing for tea and botanical growers and brands to submit entries in the annual Teas of the World contest organized by AVPA, the France-based Agency for the Valorization of Agricultural Products. There are two distinct parts, monovarietal teas, which are Camellia sinensis, with many categories depending on the method of preparation, and herbal teas, which are infusion plants other than Camellia sinensis, as well as blends and flavored teas. Karine Baudry, an expert in sensory analysis and founder of Quintessence, chairs this year's jury. Signe Leap, responsible for communication and development of the AVPA programs, joins us from Paris to explain the many benefits of participating. Signe joined AVPA in 2017 after several years of work in communications, product promotions, and brand management. She holds a master's degree in international project management from UPEC and a master's in economics from Sud University in Paris. She graduated from Ural State Technical University in Sverdlovsk, Russia. Thanks again for joining the TBiz podcast this year. Sina, I'm excited about ABPA's ever-expanding role in tea and delighted to learn that the organization will host a live awards ceremony on November 4th at the Salon Equipe Hotel in Paris. Will you remind listeners of ABPA's mission and its several contests?
ABPA, Agency for Valorization of Agricultural Products. It's an agency dedicated to promoting the recognition and appreciation of high-quality agricultural products from around the world. Our mission is to support producers who focus on excellence and unique artisanal production methods. ABPA organizes several prestigious competitions that spotlight exceptional products. First competition is World Edible Oils, including olive and other vegetable oils, rewarding those that demonstrate excellence in flavor and production. Second contest is Coffee Roasted at Origin, celebrates the best coffee from various regions, highlighting the unique flavors and cultivation methods from coffee beans producing countries. Chocolate Elaborated at Origin. This contest recognizes high quality chocolate products from the cacao bean producing countries. And the fourth contest is Teas of the World. This competition helps producers gain international recognition and contribute the global appreciation of their products.
The World of Teas contest, now in its seventh edition, utilizes traditional and gastronomic judging. Will you explain?
I would like to explain you the difference between gastronomic judging and traditional judging. In traditional judging, typically teas are judged based on industry standards, which include factors such as leaf appearance, infusion color, aroma, taste, and aftertaste. The focus is on uniformity and adherence to traditional expectation for each type of tea, with an emphasis on technical precision and consistency. Teas are often tasted in a standardized manner, with judges looking for specific markers that denote quality according to established norms. In contrast, gastronomic judging by ABPA emphasizes the sensory experience and the overall pleasure derived from tasting the tea. It values uniqueness, creativity, and the ability of each tea to offer a memorable experience. The focus on the cultural and culinary richness of the tea, celebrating distinctive flavor and aroma. The process is quite different also because we have two types of jury. The first is a technical jury. This is the specialist in the tea field. And the second part is the judges, gastronomic judges, often coming from diverse culinary background, taste tea in a more relaxed, sensory-driven manner. They assess how the tea engages the palate, evokes emotions, and how it might pair with food. The gastronomic approach by ABPA allows for a broader appreciation of tea, acknowledging their place in the wide context of gastronomy and culture, rather than just a commodity product. This method is particularly beneficial for artisanal and specialty teas, which may not fit into traditional categories, but offer unique and exceptional experiences.
Will you describe how competitors benefit? Every tea entered is a winner, given the rigors of selecting and preparing their best tea and telling its story.
Participating in AVPA tea contest offers multiple benefits for winners and participants. First of all, it's a marketing advantage. Winners gain a powerful marketing tool by being associated with the prestigious AVPA contest and AVPA organization. This recognition can help increase visibility and credibility in the marketplace, attracting more customers and partnerships. Awarded teas receive official AVPA seals, which can be displayed on the product packaging. These seals serve as a mark of quality and excellence, distinguishing the products from competition and making them more appealing to discerning consumers. It is also a recognition for your team. Winning or even participating in the contest provides a sense of accomplishment and pride for the tea producers and their teams. It's a way to celebrate their hard work and dedication, boosting morale and motivation. The contest is also a benchmarking for a tea producer. AVPA contest offers a unique opportunity for tea growers to compare their products with those of others in the same industry. This benchmarking helps producers understand where they stand on terms of quality and innovation, and provides insights for future improvements. In this contest, everyone wins. Beyond the awards, the process of selecting producers' best tea, preparing it for the contest, and crafting its story is an enriching experience. It encourages tea growers to reflect on their practices, celebrate their heritage, and share their passion with the international audience. The experience itself is valuable, as it fosters growth, learning, and recognition, making every participant a winner.
In recent years, AVP has sought to identify and bring attention to growers in less well-known parts of the world. Outreach includes travel to producing countries and meetings with growers to explain the contest. Will you describe your target regions in 2024?
Not only tea producers, but also the herbal tea producers could participate in at AVPA contest. This year, AVPA efforts have included trips to some countries in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. These trips involve meeting with the local producers, explaining the contest, and encouraging participation to help bring global attention to their unique teas and herbal teas. Countries like Peru, Colombia, and Laos have been K-targeted, aiming to showcase the diverse and rich tea cultures outside the traditional tea powerhouses. There are some countries like Ivory Coast also was targeted to showcase some of their herbal teas.
The judges are highly skilled and thorough in their evaluation. Will you share a tip or two for entering the competition on what it takes to win?
We greatly acknowledge the dedication and expertise of AVPA judges. Their process involves a meticulous and thoughtful evaluation of each product, tea or herbal tea, considering not just its technical qualities, but also its gastronomic appeal and the story behind it. The judges come from diverse backgrounds, including tea expertise, sensory analysis, gastronomy, ensuring a well-rounded assessment. For those aspiring to win, a few tips include: please highlight uniqueness. Emphasize the distinctive qualities of your product, of your tea or your herbal tea or your blend. Whether it's a unique flavor profile, an innovative production method, or a rich cultural heritage. Please focus on quality and consistency. Ensure that the product you submit represents the best of what you offer. Also, don't forget, a VPA tasting is a blind test, so your product will not be judged by the design of the packaging.
Remember, entry forms with samples must be received in Paris by September 30th. Visit avpa.fr/THES for details. Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of tea biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the Tea Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.